Thank you for all being here today. This is Senate Transportation. I have Senator Thomas and Senator Menard here, and thank you very much. I'm Senator Kukesh, Chairman of the Committee. We have before us today, this is February 23rd, it is 8 minutes after one. We have before Senate Transportation Committee, well, we have a CS for Senate Bill 180. I'm not going to read the title, because we don't have a lot of time here, but I'd like to ask Senator Olson's staff to introduce the legislation, and let's have the discussion.
Thank you, Senator, or Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is David Scott. I'm staff to Senator Olson. The bill before you is Senate Bill 180. The version we'd like to work off is M, for all M as in
yeah, we got it.
Mouse. Mm-hmm. I could have said McKinley, I guess, huh? what the bill essentially does, and what we're trying to address actually, is there are regions of the state that have a lot of naturally occurring asbestos there, and for any capital projects to occur, whether it's roads, airports, building schools, new homes, it's going to require gravel. And in a lot of these places, it's just not economically reasonable to try to find other sources of gravel in the area. It's a good example is the town of Ambler, and they have not had any capital projects for over a decade now. The Department of Transportation has stopped projects because of naturally occurring asbestos there. So what the bill does is we're working with the third floor, and we're also working with the departments, DOT, DEC, HESS, and Labor, and we'd like to set up an operating procedure, a permitting process, whereby if the state were going to do a project like a road or an airport, building a school, that they would have to follow certain what we call a site-specific plan, and the bill would have to go through the process and review of DOT and in conjunction with the other departments I just listed. There's also a section in where a private contractor could submit a plan. An example would be a mine in the area, and they wanted to build a road to get the ore to market somehow, however it was. If a private contractor wanted to come in and use gravel that contained NOAA, they would have to submit a plan to DOT. DOT would have to review it and either approve or disapprove of the plan. I would say that's it in a nutshell. Mr. Chairman, I could go, if you'd like, I could go through a sectional. I've provided sectionals in the bill packet, but I could answer any questions about the mechanics of the bill, any other questions of what the sponsor, what the sponsor's feeling towards this bill, why he chose to introduce it, and I'm available for questions. Or also, we have representatives from NANA, we have representatives from the Northwest Arctic Borough. There are representatives from the Department of Transportation, Department of Health, DEC, and Department of Labor. So,
okay. Any questions for the presenter, Senator Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the explanation. So, it's my understanding then that you would still be able to use the material in a road project or a pad for something or at the airport or whatever, regardless of whether it was paved over or anything. But you would need a protocol. You would need to submit what you're going to use it for, and then the Department of Transportation, in the meantime, directed through the bill to develop a protocol for when and where it might be used. And would it be, or are you anticipating that would be based on the percentage of asbestos in it as well? That they, it's part of their evaluation, I suspect. I see peripherally some heads in the back nodding yes.
Yeah, you know. Through the chair, Senator Thomas. There's a limit in the bill. There's a limit of 0.25% by mass. We're allowing for NOAA to be used and still be granted immunity. There's an immunity section in the bill And just for the senators, the committee's knowledge, the bill does go to judiciary next, and that will be thoroughly scrubbed there. But to be offered immunity, you by DOT, you have to submit the plan as to be approved, reviewed and approved by DOT. But you can only use gravel containing NOAA less than 0.25%.
Regardless.
And you will not, if you decide, if you're a private contractor and you go out, at my reading of the bill, my understanding of the bill is, if you're a private contractor, you found a bunch of gravel with NOAA in it, and you decided to go and do it anyway, build whatever you were going to build, you would be subject to liability, and then you'd be liable for any what we call asbestos-related injuries or site of health effects, property damage, that sort of thing.
Yes,
if I could just continue. So I would anticipate then that in that process that at least for identified pits, as the Department of Transportation usually identifies pits that they use, that they would already have some of that information, or at least on the percent of the material that can't be used in it or something like that, so that they would not run into the problem you just talked about some company moving a bunch of it, putting it in place, and then suffering the consequences after the fact kind of thing. So, okay. All right, thanks.
Thank you. Senator Menard, you got a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm curious, because this bill is being brought forward, if you did any kind of studies on the economic impact this has by, you're talking about mining roads and also probably airports or... And so what in numbers did they figure they've lost out? Oh, you said over the last decade, right? They haven't had, so within 10 years there's been, because of the investment.
Through the chair, Senator Mard, as far as a number figure, I don't know if I could give you it's something I could find out easily, and I could probably find out in 20 minutes. I didn't bring that kind of information with me. But what I did provide to the committee is a list of projects in Ambler. This is only Ambler, but Cobec's also affected. But in Ambler, there's an airport extension. There's a replacement of the Grizzly Bridge. There's the solid waste site. There's a riverbank erosion that needs to be addressed. Other road construction and just basic road maintenance. Schoolyard playground and future home sites. I have there's also what I have in front of. I also provided the committee it's from the FAA, and it's describing the project at Ambler, and it says project. This is FAA saying project is delayed until a suitable material source can be found that does not contain asbestos. So as far as a big number for you, I can't provide that right off the top of my head, but I could get back to the committee on that. No problem.
Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the monitoring and the testing, would that be done by a state agency, or would that be outsourced to a private company?
Through the chair, Senator Menard, I'll try to walk through a plan. Once a construction company or the state decided to build something, a road or, let's say, an airport, they get what we call in the bill a site-specific plan. That means that we're allowing them to use the asbestos with NOAA in it. Then, once that's okay, another plan we're calling the monitoring, and I believe we call it the mitigation plan, which will be I think the best way to describe it is the departments of DOT, DEC, Health, and Labor would get together on that plan. And most likely would be, we're thinking of, for example, DEC would set up air monitoring equipment at a road construction or an airport construction site, and DEC would, I mean, that's their purview, so DEC would monitor that. It wouldn't be a private, as far as I that's not how I read the bill. It would be the state.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. From the delay of projects, and that is it that prolific in the area?
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, it's my understanding that asbestos, natural occurring asbestos, is very prevalent around jade. We've heard this through a geologist of somebody I talked to about jealous, and there, right there is called Jade Mountain. there's on Jade Mountain that's right there and near on the Kobuk, the upper Kobuk area, and it's pretty prevalent around that whole area. It really is. So, there are other little pockets of the state as well. I'm not a geologist, so I can't. There's some here in southeast. I know there's a place in, I guess it'd be the Copper River area too, that has that they found some. So
must be, because all these projects that are listed as being delayed due to this, you'd think that DOT or somebody would go out and find a cleaner source someplace so we wouldn't have to fool with this, but maybe it's so prevalent that that's not possible. I don't know.
Thank you. Senator Menard.
So is it correct to say DOT is not in support of this dip, or is in support or neutral?
Through the chair, Senator Menard, I would describe it as supportive in the sense that they're working very well with us. The lines of communication are wide open, and there's a good, frank discussion about the bill. I don't feel that they're against it at all. And the third floor has been working with us on this very, very closely. And there's a companion bill in the House.
We had the mayor of Ambler come in earlier on, and I listened to his testimony, and he said, we want to be able to build these projects, but we need the state to come up with a standard and an operating procedure. Is that where this is coming from?
Mr. Chairman,
in order for Ambler to do this, they want to know what parameters are around the use of that.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
What's the history of this legislation? Is it before us because we weren't able to move certain agencies to the state, or is it before us because Ambler finally came around and got somebody's attention, or what's the history of it?
There was a previous attempt a previous bill in the other body that it's pretty much the same thing.
Okay.
It, generally speaking, is the same thing, and it did not go anywhere. And at that time, it was put forward by the administration that we're going to find a way to do this. We're going to find a way. And frankly, Mr. Chairman, it hasn't happened, and that's why we're pushing this bill hard this session.
Good. So eventually we want to come out of this with a standard operating procedure for the Department of Transportation to be able to tell everybody who wants to use rock in the state, you can use this rock, but you have to follow certain policies and guidelines. I think that's what the mayor of Ambler wanted. He wanted to know, what can I do and what are the parameters? So this would work for him.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions? If not, thank you very much for your testimony, and we'll get to back to you.
Thank you, Mr.
So let's go to Offnet right now and go to Chad Nordlam from Kotzebue, Northwest Arctic Borough. Are you on, sir?
Hello, this is Chad Nordlam.
Yes, hi. Your name and affiliation for the record, and if you want to testify, we'd be pleased to hear from you.
All right, thank you. Mr. Chairman, this is Chad Nordlam from the Northwest Arctic Borough. I'm the Deputy Director of Planning here, and I would like to testify. Shall I begin my testimony now?
Yes, please.
All right. The Northwest Arctic Borough supports SB 180. We believe the bill addresses the public safety factors that would allow for important construction projects to go forward in Ambler. The city of Ambler has waited for years for the NOA issue to be addressed, and passage of this bill would help to move much-delayed transportation projects forward. Those have already been discussed. So just in closing, we strongly support passage of SB 180 and believe it would address important issues for both Ambler and Kobuk, which are in our region. Thank you very much.
Any questions for Mr. Nordlam? I have one. We're not looking at this just for two communities up there. I'm sure because of the Jade Mountain or whatever we have around there, other places, naturally occurring asbestos is probably pretty common up there in that area, isn't that? Is that the case?
Yes, this is a very common issue in the upper Kobuk region as well, which is a mining region. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much for your testimony today. Let's go now to Scott Jones from Ambler. Mr. Jones, are you on?
Scott Jones in Ambler?
Yes, please, your name and affiliation for the record, and give us your testimony if you would.
Yeah, hi, this is Scott Jones from Ambler. I'm the vice mayor. I've been a resident of Ambler for without figuring it out, almost 40 years. I have been in here with the when we put the water and sewer pipe in the ground. I was here when we built the roads. What I see, without going into a whole bunch of background, is we need to adopt, the state needs to adopt some standard operating procedures as the same as other states that have procedures. The reason that nothing can go is because there's no rules, so you don't know when you're breaking the rules. There's no rules on the books to handle asbestos. We have, on several different occasions, had special permission to do reclamation projects at the airport and so on. We were monitored by a Nortec outfit, and with the ANTHC project in the early stages, needed gravel, and they were also air monitored. All the operators, anybody that had any proximity to the gravel being moved, was monitored, had air monitors, and they were they had a whole regimen of testing. And the finding from Nortec was a finding of no significant impact for the breathing of the NOA. Some of the background is that in 2003, there was a, it just happened by chance, there was a geology student fresh out of school, took a gravel sample to see what they could find in the gravel. And then lo and behold, they found this NOA. In the region, we do have, we are in a mountainous, hilly region. We've got gravel on all three sides, and we can't use it. We need to have some standards accepted through the state so that these projects can go forth and we can go ahead with these mitigating deals. We've mitigated dust at the airport in the past with a oil palliative, and we've got two or three crews trained. And we have the equipment on site to dispense this palliative. That works extremely well. It, with this last year, a lot of traffic on the road, it seemed to beat the palliative off, and it was a dry summer. So it lasted about 3 months. The palliative is fairly expensive, but it does work. In the seasons when it's rainy and so on, there is no dust. The only time that this NOA is a problem was when it's airborne. And it's got to be down in the 3 microns area before it can be detrimental to anybody. There's no, I went through the House bill the other day, so I'm trying to remember what I said over there. There's no reported cases of asbestos poisoning in this region. There have been, I believe it was 20 or 25 cases of respiratory problems in this region, but nobody did a study of whether these people were smokers or not, because smoking increases the rate 80 to 100% more than if you were exposed to the NOA and didn't smoke. Let me see my notes here. There's a mountain up here within sight of Kobuk that's called Asbestos Mountain. Back in the day, in the 60s, 50s, 60s, it was a mine for high-quality asbestos. The asbestos we have in this region is chrysotile. It's the least of the 7 types of asbestos to deal with. It's the least hazardous. The state of California has all 7 types of asbestos, and they have adopted plans to so that they can use their asbestos and mitigate the dust. Is there any questions?
Any questions from members of the committee? Seeing them, thank you, Mr. Jones, for your testimony this afternoon.
You can get a hold of me any time of the week to the Rambler City office.
Okay, thank you very much. I have other people off net and from Anchorage, but they're just here to answer questions. For example, we have the Alaska Division of Public Health, Division of Public Health and Department of Law online. But let me go right now to the. Is there anybody else online that wants to testify? No? Okay, we're going to go into public testimony within the room here, and I have Elizabeth Hensley. If you'd like to come forward, please, and Lance Miller. You're both welcome to come at the same time you'd like, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're using.
Okay, good. And if you'd just identify yourself for the record and give us your testimony individually, that'd be great.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Elizabeth Hensley. I'm the corporate and public policy liaison at NANA Regional Corporation. And do you want to introduce yourself?
No? Okay. No, go ahead.
Well, sure. NANA wanted to go on record as supporting this bill because, just as the previous speakers have stated, it's really important in order to move projects forward in Ambler and Kobuk. The dollar amount of the projects that have been delayed in Kobuk for 10 years is about $10 million. That's what the estimates are. And they mentioned some of them. It's the airport runway extension, upgrades to water and sewer systems, about 10 new homes that the Northwest Inupiat Housing Authority wants to build in the tribe, upgrades to the dump site, and then securing the embankment of the river to protect. There are about three or four homes near the riverbank, and the river is eroding, so they're in danger of, you know, washing into the river. So it's very important that this happen. The other project that has been delayed is in Kobuk. It's the school. About 5 years ago, high school classes were for the first time offered in the village of Kobuk, but previously the students had to go to a different village. They haven't been able to expand the school because of the NOA and the gravel, so it's overcrowded. So they would really like to be able to do that. This bill is supported by the Northwest Arctic Leadership Team, which includes NANA, Maniluk, which is the tribal nonprofit, the Northwest Arctic Borough, as Chad said, and then the school district. So it's got really broad support. Everybody's been really trying to work with Ambler and Kobuk to help them, because we feel like it's all of our responsibility as a pretty tight-knit region. As the mayor or vice mayor stated, California has been, they have a program in full swing. So does, is it Virginia or West Virginia?
Virginia.
Virginia. So where they have naturally occurring asbestos as well, and they, it's in full swing, doing fine. They have really led the way, and they serve as an example for us. So we've appreciated that. Other than that, I guess I could turn it over to Lance Miller. He's a geologist, but also our vice president of resources. So.
Okay, let me ask if there's any questions for Ms. Hensley. Yeah, Senator Thomas.
Well, I'll hold the question, I guess, depending on if we're going to hear from a geologist. But I was just curious if, in fact, there's been any drilling program. You know, if we have projects that are held up for years and years, those projects only become more expensive. So if you're holding up projects for 5 to 10 years, you're incurring millions of dollars worth of expense. I would think that DOT or somebody would contract with somebody to actually go out and do some drilling to identify some locations where there was a source of gravel that could be used to and probably spend a fair amount of money doing that, but pull down the other costs that are building as we're doing nothing. So, or is it, and maybe you can answer this question, or is it so pervasive that that's not realistic? So, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and have you introduce yourself and put yourself on record and then give us your testimony. Maybe we'll answer that question will be answered.
You bet. Again, Lance Miller, Vice President of Resources for NANA. And yes, I'm a geologist. So, I guess to address a few of these things, comments, questions that have come up. First of all, as we get into this, it's just amazing, even to me as a geologist, how important gravel is. And I think this highlights it, that all around the state we just realize. Sometimes it's one of those things that we just take for granted, like electricity coming through the power line, if you happen to have a power line. So it really is critical, as you've heard. As far as general geology, the rocks in the area, they're generally these iron-rich, dark rocks. Serpentine and jade and things, and from that you get these asbestos minerals. As Scott mentioned, chrysotile is the most common one. It's actually one of the least sort of toxic, if you will, of the asbestos type minerals. But it's not just in this region. It's, you know, there was asbestos found in pits along the Dalton Highway. There was some right out here, Stabler's Quarry in Juneau. So it's a fairly common mineral associated with these kind of rocks that are part of the makeup of Alaska from southeast all the way to the Arctic. As far as looking for new sources, yes, DOT has been very good about that. We've been working with them. They have some samples actually pending right now from sources, one about, I think, 6 miles in Yurchurk Mountain from Ambler, one up 20-some miles up the Ambler River. It just raises the cost of everything, for one. And a lot of these projects were budgeted based on a certain budget, and now the time delay and the additional transportation for gravel, you know, where do you get the money? There has been a fair bit of work done right near Ambler as well, and actually there is a significant resource less than 0.25% around as well. But it wasn't just that kind of this, that maybe the impetus for some of this legislation, but the fact is, was mentioned that California has been down this path in a much more populated area than we were. Where it really came out, it was actually El Dorado County, which I understand is one of the richest counties in California, in the foothills. The geology is very similar, a lot of asbestos, but they actually had fairly high per capita income there and a lot of political connections, and they move some things through, and that's really my understanding of how it got to the forefront in California. So they've dealt with it, again, a very populous area. If the DOT results, and not to speak for DOT, but come through, there is opportunity, you know, for clean sources. But I think when you really look at some of the health issues, the question is, what's really reasonable, and do you need to go 20 miles or whatever for clean sources? There was a 2000, when this was, after it was soon identified, DHHS did some studies. There was a report in 2005, and they looked at about 128 x-rays, also many death certificates. They actually worked with translators in the villages of Kobach-Chungnak, Ambler, and Kiana. And in upriver, they found no asbestos-related deaths. This is Kobach, Ambler, Chungnak, no reports of mesothelioma, back to the records of 70, and no reported cases of lung cancer in Kobach, Chungnak, Ambler. There were some in Kiana, some smokers and things. And also they interviewed people, and some of these folks had actually worked in the asbestos mines. Interesting in this report, they said asbestos has been used by residents or Alaskan natives for hundreds of years based on archaeological reports. And I think that's what we also hear up there is, you know, some of the highest concentrations are actually in the gravel bars, like right in front of Ambler. Mm-hmm. So people have been there for thousands of years and generally lived often along the river. So, you know, it's been around. It's not new. And I know in discussing with some people in the building, it's really important also to highlight, as in the title, this is naturally occurring, and where everybody gets worried, and frankly Nana too, our attorneys, is because of all the issues around processed asbestos and everything. This is not. So I guess those were some main points I wanted to just make, and hopefully they answered some of those questions. Could go on and on about this. It's kind of a fascinating thing, but for brevity, I will.
To you, I'm sure, but to some of us, yeah. Probably not.
It is important. I think the crucial thing is what it is held up as far as, you know, just people living. And I don't know if Scott mentioned it today, three generations in some households.
Right.
And then at the bigger issue for just rural survival, frankly, as we look at infrastructure projects, even the Roads to Resources programs, this will, it could have an effect, and this could be a solution for moving those projects forward. Again, in places, adopting some of this in places of the country where they've been down this path already. So.
Good. Any questions for Lance? Yes, Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, this has been a real education session right now, and now we learned that there's seven types of asbestos. So does asbestos kind of get a bad rap like arsenic? I mean, there's natural occurring arsenic, of course, in the lakes that we hear a lot about. Mm. In my area, they're complaining that this is kind of an issue, too. But so, and then I guess one other thing, I'm so glad a geologist is in front of me. So when you talk about your rich, iron-rich area, so jade, can you tell us what is the value of jade now?
Yes, I'll try. Two questions. As far as the first one, as far as asbestos goes, you know, and the little, again, so now here's a qualifying as not being a medical person, but you look at the national level, I mean, EPA has not even addressed this. So a lot of people, medical professionals, will say any potential and exposure to asbestos could cause mesothelioma. So there's the problem, but there's really, at the federal level, there's no rules. Mm. So is it a problem? It could be, yes, like a lot of things. Arsenic you know, I think we have to recognize in a lot of places we live, these things are just part of the background.
Got it.
And arsenic is one. Zinc is another. You actually need zinc. There's, I know there's zinc in the water in the creeks around Juneau and things. So I don't know if that really addresses it, but some of it is, it's environment. Yeah, it's the amount.
Safe, but you know, it's like sometimes
exactly.
You say the word nuclear, everybody goes,
right.
But is nuclear a good...
Exactly, it's a level, and it's exposure time. That's what it's all about. All these things can be sort of mitigated. You know, too much water, as we know, can kill you.
She also wanted to know, I don't know why, the price of jade.
Well, we've actually received a few emails.
It's gold all the time, yeah. Alex. I want to know.
It's really a niche market, and it has to, it's sort of a unique market. We have received, as Nana, a few inquiries just this year about jade from places as far as New Zealand, because the Upper Kobuk jade is fairly well known for good quality. So I can't tell you how much. It's not like it's a price per ton or per ounce or whatever, because it really, its value is how it's crafted and into and carved and in the art. But it has tremendous value-added potential, sort of at a smaller scale.
I just know mm-hmm. that Alaskans love it, and that's part of ivory, jade, you know, the gold, and I just was wondering if you had a feel of what the value was and what other countries are interested. So
We've had interest from Korea, from New Zealand, the lower 48. One of the things is really in our part of the state is the remoteness. So just even getting it there and getting it small enough so it's light enough to get out or getting processed on site. So again, it gets down to transportation costs too. Nana did have a little jade business many, many years ago.
I was recently in the Sheraton Hotel again in Anchorage, and I remember the jade staircase is still there.
Yeah, it was beautiful material.
Do I worry about asbestos from it? No.
No.
Well, we had a scare, and I'm sure everybody in this room remembered, on mercury and halibut a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Back our people ate halibut. We didn't care whether it was mercury in there or not.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Any other questions for the presenters? Yeah, Senator Thomas.
I don't know if it's a question, but, you know, just in regards to, you know, I think the reason that asbestos got a bad rap was obviously the refined product, and now it's basically banned from usage anyhow, you know. So, but the argument that took place at the time was that the industry claimed that you could eat it, that it would not even harm you. But then the incidence of cancer from people that worked in the industry was extremely high, and somebody just died the other day that most of the people in this room know died from mesothelioma, or however I would stumble over that disease. And that was and they actually found that the companies knew the danger of asbestos, but suppressed the information on it for years, and that's why it took until 1972, I think, or something, before they started really ratcheting back on the usage of it. And actually now I don't even think it's used in any products, but that's a concentration of a huge percentage of it, and it remains now only basically in old insulation around pipes in old buildings and some floors and things like that, and generally not a problem as long as you don't break it up dramatically when you're removing it and stuff like that. So,
Okay, thank you.
If I could just add through the chair to that. Actually, my understanding is it is safe to eat and to drink. The problem is when it gets broken up and it friable is a term, and it gets in the air and it gets in your lungs. So that really is the problem. But you can actually drink it in water and stuff, but it's in your lungs, and that's the...
You can have the first glass.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much for your testimony today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there anybody else in the room that would like to testify?
Very interesting.
And we have anybody else online, I guess, huh? So we'll close public testimony. We did. I did get a chance to talk for the committee's information to the senator who is the chairman of the judiciary, and I told him, asked him if he would mind taking a really strong look at the Section 2 of this bill, which I don't want to do today, because I think immunity is a question for the Judiciary Committee, and I'd like to move this bill over to that committee for its recommendation and for its concern. We have a CS, that's right. We have a CS. And what's a backslash on it? M?
M.
Yeah. Could we have a motion to adopt a CS/M.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the CS for Senate Bill 180/M.
Is there objection? Seeing none, then we are working on /M. If we don't have anybody else to testify, if we don't have anybody else online, I don't want to hold this up, bill up anymore. I'd like to move it off and ask for a recommendation from the committee or a motion from the committee.
Okay, I move that we move the CS for S Bill 180 /M with individual recommendations and fiscal note onto the next committee.
Any objection? Seeing none, it's moved and we are adjourned. Thank you.